The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How great is it to have our choir back? Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, what we do here today, and all the ways we live our lives please you, make you glad, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Eugene Peterson, who is the translator of the Message version of the Bible, tells a story of when he was just about 5 years old and growing up in Montana. He lived in a very modest home, but he lived next door to a farm that was owned by a big Norwegian man whose name was Leonard Storm. Mr. Storm and his wife, Olga, were strange and a little scary, so mostly Eugene stayed far away from them. But he would stand sometimes behind the fence that separated their properties and watch Mr. Storm plow his fields. And what that little guy really wanted was to ride on Mr. Storm's John Deere tractor. He would never ask. He was way too intimidated to do that. But he would stand at the edge of their property and just watch. One day, Mr. Storm spotted Eugene at the fence about 100 yards away, and he stopped the tractor and stood up in his seat and began waving at him with his big arms. And Peterson said, years later, he said, "I had never seen anyone use gestures like that. He looked mean and angry. He was yelling at me, and the wind was blowing against him, so I couldn't hear anything. I knew that I was probably where I shouldn't be, because five-year-old boys often are, so I turned and left. I hadn't felt like I was doing anything wrong. I was only watching from what I thought was a safe distance and wishing that someday, somehow, I could get to ride on that tractor. But I went home feeling rejected and rebuked." The next Sunday, Mr. Storm called Eugene over after church. "Son, why didn't you come out on the field on Thursday and ride the tractor with me?" he asked. "I was waving at you. Why did you leave?" He left, of course, because that waving motion wasn't what he thought "come on over" looked like. He was waiting for something small, something that looked like one finger crooked toward him a couple of times. Small wasn't the way Mr. Storm did things. Only little Eugene Peterson didn't know him well enough to understand when he was offering welcome. So a few days later, Eugene was back at that fence, and this time, when that big sweeping motion of invitation came, he ran across the field and climbed up into the big green John Deere tractor. Mr. Storm leaned down and scooped him up and let him stand behind the steering wheel as they pulled that plow down a long stretch of field together. Sometimes, what we need most is another chance. Think of how many words in our theological vocabulary begin with the prefix re, R-E. Religion, which means to bind back together something that has come apart. Rebirth, remember, even resurrection. That prefix appears in our words about God because we don't always get it right the first time. Re is an expression of hope. It means that no matter how far away we might wander, from the life that God created for us to live, we can always find our way back. And when we do, we will be welcomed back every time by the God whose arms are open. We have a God of second chances. This is good news for all of us, because every one of us has intentions that are more noble than our actions. Even the best of us can be distracted or discouraged or enticed away from the right path, even if we had a glimpse of it once. The whole darn Bible is about how God deals with us in our human tendency to get off track. Today we are inviting you to recommit yourself to the kind of deepening spiritual life that perhaps you have made resolutions about before. Few of us are able to change ourselves in the way we'd like to. None of us can do it alone. Finding a small group of people with whom you can be honest and authentic, a group of people who are facing in the same direction as you, hoping for the same kind of change you are seeking for yourself, can make all the difference. Small groups are where change happens. They are the places where you can be safe to hold your own life up to the light and see the traces of holiness more clearly. I know that sometimes, even in a church, it's hard to find those experiences. So this morning, we're going to try and make it easier. In the next 40 minutes or so, between the end of this service and 11 o'clock, you are invited to go and sample what it's like to be in one of the church's small groups. There's a full list of the groups on an insert in your bulletin. It has red type on it. And in red is the place that each group is meeting this morning. So find a group that you would like to try just for today. A leader of the group will meet you there. If you know you would like to join that group for the coming year or even for the next several weeks, there will be a sign-up sheet for you to indicate that, but there's no obligation. You can join another group. Or you can join the choir. Or you can join no group at all. This is an invitation, not a command. At 10:45, parents of Sunday school-age children should leave whatever group you've gone to and go to your child's Sunday school class for the last 15 minutes of the hour. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll all gather in the fellowship hall again, and that's where you can find your directory and your name tag. Again, everyone gets a name tag this year, a new name tag, even if you've had one before. If you're unfamiliar with the place that is listed for the group that you'd like to visit, ask someone else to help you find it. And if you're someone who knows your way around this campus very well, please look around for someone who might need your help. God's mercies are new every morning, the writer of Lamentations wrote. Who would write that? I think it must have been someone who knew what it feels like to get to the end of the day and feel like all of today's mercies are used up. Like he's tried lots of times to get things right and has failed every time before. And then you wake up in the morning and you see God waving at you with that big arm, like Eugene Peterson's Leonard Storm, saying, "Come on, let's do this." Will you pray with me? We come to you, God, you who are the trainer of hopes, physician for bruised hearts, companion to every one of us who has felt lost or forsaken. We come wanting something we barely know how to speak or imagine. We yearn for something we have not yet learned to name. But maybe what we seek is, as we have been told, to experience anew the presence of your Spirit. We confess that we take your presence for granted, that we are reminded of it mostly when life spins out of control, that we are often too busy or too consumed with the next few moments to even want the fullness of life you offer us. Let us find the time and the will to look up so that you can renew our souls, because we have lost our way. We have become mind weary, and some of us are body bent. And still you call to us. For ourselves and for your people everywhere, we pray for healing of mind and body and soul. Strengthen those who feel they have little to hope for. Comfort those who are living in night times of grief. Startle us anew, God, with your Spirit that brings healing even from ashes. Call us, and then let us hear your call to live our lives in faithfulness, doing your justice, living your kindness, walking humbly with you and with all those beautiful and unbeautiful in whom you live. We pray this in the name of our friend and our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.